cut.
You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. Coming up on today's show, I continue on with my interviews with some of the top UK indie talent on the professional wrestling scene, focusing especially on my local promotion, Fight Factory Wrestling. And today I have the opportunity to sit down with the ladies champion, Fight Factory Wrestling's very own Eliza Rue. She's only been in the industry for 2 years. And yet has solidified herself as a force to be reckoned with on the UK indie scene, and things are only gonna get better. Make sure that you stay tuned for that. It's a great interview, one of my favourites. We've got an hour of Eliza Rue coming up here on the European Uppercut Podcast.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. We are in association with Siren FM today, and that's because we're recording in their studio. Thank you very much once again to Siren FM. This is a continuation of our series of talking to some of the top independent talent on the British wrestling scene. And this week I am joined by the Fight Factory Wrestling Ladies Champion, Eliza Rue. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So this is not the first time that you've actually been here at Siren.
No, it's not.
That was back in October before Body Slams, I believe.
Yes, it was. And it was before the Engine Shed Show too, I believe. That was more of an angry me.
Because obviously were here that was... as your alter ego, yes. Eliza.
So this one will be fun. I'm looking forward to this interview.
How do you find it when, like, you... Because obviously when you're out of character talking to people, do you find it easier being yourself or easier being Eliza?
I kind of do take a little bit of Eliza because I'm naturally quite a shy person. So I take a little bit of that confidence and then borderline arrogance when she's a little bit of a horrible person. So I use a little bit of that to kind of build up the confidence to speak to people because I'm quite shy.
Well, let's go on and talk about your time as a professional wrestler and everything to do with your career today.
Okay.
When did you first start watching professional wrestling?
Oh God, that's a good question. I can't pinpoint a date. I remember being very young and my dad watched it and he was all into his WWE. And this was when I was living in Bourne, so this would have been, I'm going to say I was about 5, maybe. And then we moved and I was still watching WWE at this point, and then moved again. Didn't have Sky, so ended up watching loads and loads of TNA. So my tastes in wrestling is very eclectic, and some people would disagree with some of that.
Well, no, that's always the best thing, is to... So, do you find that being a wrestler, seeing all these different types of products actually does help you improve your game?
Yeah, I think it does, because I like to watch different styles of wrestling, and that way I can hopefully bring that into when I'm actually wrestling and performing, because everyone has certain tastes when it comes to going to watch a wrestling show. So you've got your high flyers and you've got your hard hitters, and I kind of like to... hopefully throw a little bit of everything in there and kind of be a little bit of everything. So I'm going to go on my gimmick right now. So I am their favourite. I'm quite proud of that one.
So when you would, if I was to say right now, we're going to sit down and watch a wrestling match, mm-hmm. what's your sort of go-to style then? Because you say you like a little bit of everything, yep. but if I said to you right now, you want to watch a match, what kind of match would you go for?
Oh, well, that's really tough. I'd probably say, I don't know. I quite like, if I was to go off one that I would enjoy watching every time, it would be the Iron Woman match with Bayley and Sasha. I could watch that over and over again. I think it's a brilliant match, the way it's structured. I love when things are structured properly because it draws you in and you're like, you're proper rooting for the good guy. And this is where the fan side of me comes out. I love going to wrestling shows and just watching. Part of me wants to be in there, and that's the same with every wrestler. But if a performer can draw me in when I know how all this works, that's great, and I really appreciate that, and I think that that's something that everyone should aim to be able to do.
What would you say was the last time then that you were at a wrestling event and you were sort of drawn into that action in that same way, sort of like to steal a well-used phrase, that mark-out moment,
okay,
where you sort of went, oh, this, even though I know how this works, that has drawn me in so much?
Other than when I've been obviously performing with Fight Factory, I went to watch Southside Show. I went to watch Speed King, and there was a show before that, so they had an afternoon show and then Speed King, and the main event of that was brilliant. I love comedy wrestling, so there was a lot of like really good wrestling, but then there was little comedy aspects, which that always puts a smile on your face. So it would be that one, I think, if I can remember rightly. And oh God, I probably shouldn't. No, I'm not going to name who was in there because I'm going to, if I forget someone, I'll be in a lot of trouble. So yeah, it was just a really good match, and everyone in there was, and they're very big across Britain. They performed really well and they drew me into that. So that would be the one I mean.
I like it when you talk about like the Sasha versus Bayley aspect of things, and that was such an amazing match. Even the one before that at Brooklyn, mm-hmm. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, that was my favourite match of that year, definitely. Yep. And you mentioned about the structure of it all, and you like structured matches. So something that I've always wondered is, like, when it comes to wrestling, if you're going to sort of portray it as a real sport as well, I shouldn't really say stuff like that because I always trip over...
Hold on.
It's tripping over the right wording for that kind of aspect of things. But when it comes to structuring and stuff, having time limits on matches, is that something that you quite like then?
I do, because I think that you as a performer should be able to draw them in, be it a 7 or 8 minute match or a 25 minute match, because to me everything's got the same structure, you just drag certain bits out. So I don't know how far back we're pulling the curtain here, but if I'm working villain and I had a longer match, the heat would just be longer. The way I'm, like when I'm beating up the good guy, that I'd just make that longer. Whereas if I do that in a smaller match, I'd still do that, just in less time, and you have to almost be a little bit smarter with it because you've got less time to engage the fans in wanting the good guy to win. So, yeah, the structure's really important to me. I think the psychology behind wrestling is really important.
And that's something that is taught very much at Fight Factory Wrestling. We heard about it and at the Academy and the new Dutch Courage Gym as well. We heard Dutch and Rebecca talking about it when they were on the show a couple of weeks ago. And they also talked about the first time that you stepped in the ring and started training.
Oh, dear gosh.
Do you want to give your side of the story? What was it like the first time that you stepped inside the Fight Factory Wrestling Academy?
Okay. It was summertime and my friend had started training, knew that I was a massive fan. We always used to watch WrestleMania and stuff together. I was like, why? Because I was in a really tough place at this point. I wasn't very well. And then he invited me along to training. So I was like, right, okay, I'll give it a go. We pulled up in the car. I took one look at just the outside of the building, and about 6 or 7 people stood outside. I was like, I can't do this. I really, really cannot do this. Like, I can't get out of the car. Oh my goodness. And then I know Tommy Ryder spoke about this quite openly. I do have a little... I am very similar in the way that I do have anxiety. So like I had 2 panic attacks before I'd even got in the door. And then I spoke to Desiree, Indy, and Annie Mae, which is Lily. And then I couldn't do certain aspects of the wrestling. I was very, very nervous. I will openly admit that I cried a lot. I'm sorry for that. But yeah, they trained me. Hayden slash Dutch found a way to train me, which got me to where I am today, which is just to basically push me into it.
When you mentioned about, you know, when you first started going to wrestling training, yeah, you weren't very well. Was that the sort of anxiety side of things?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I suffered quite heavily with anxiety and depression, which obviously those things never go away.
Yeah,
that's a subject that I'll briefly touch upon rather than go too deep into.
Yeah, well, it's something that I can relate to.
Yeah.
Because I also suffer from anxiety and depression. Yeah. I have done for many years, and I have talked about it on this show before. I know I've briefly mentioned it with Tommy Ryder as well. And like, as a performer, you know, I'm a fellow performer in the sense that I do acting and stuff like that. So I kind of get this idea of, do you find that when you're performing as Eliza Rue, you're kind of having that expression of a different character?
Yes.
In a way.
Yes, definitely. As soon as I step through that curtain, I'm not me anymore. I can go out there, I can have fun, and I'm a fun person anyway, I think. But it's very easy for me to just use that character, and that's how I perform, because if I'm me, I would be so nervous I couldn't even get out the curtain. So I kind of have to switch behind, depending on whether I'm villain or being a good guy. That depends on how. But yeah, character is really, really important, and I think for a lot of people who have similar issues, using that as a vent, that is the best kind of therapy you can get.
And I think this is something that, I know we say, you know, we both said here that we don't really want to go into it too deeply, but actually, I think us mentioning stuff and talking about, like, experiences with anxiety and depression, and if people are out there that have the same sort of stuff, it's talking about it, which actually makes it a very important aspect.
I think if it does need a lot of awareness, and I think to look at a lot of people, you wouldn't think that they suffer with stuff like this, because they hide it very well. And some people don't hide it as much, but you wouldn't think that some people have it, and there are certain ways of dealing with it. And I think that this is kind of a way that I found to deal with it. I know Tommy's very similar. I know quite a few people who suffer with these. So, yeah, talk about it.
So there's like, we talk about how there's this sort of pro of being a performer, you can hide behind these characters. What are the sort of cons of it though? How does it affect you as a performer?
Okay, I overthink everything. I criticize myself massively. So if anything goes wrong in a match, I'm not so bad anymore, but I used to be very bad with it. I used to just sit there and I'd get backstage from having a match, and if something went wrong, I would sit there and I wouldn't get snappy with anybody else. It would just be a case of, right, I need to calm myself down and I need to stop overthinking this, because I'm sat there and I'm shaking and I'm like, why did I do that? Whether this could have gone better and this could have gone better and this could have gone better. But actually, I'm just out there to enjoy myself, and as long as the fans don't notice, okay, I can work on it in training. And this is where I think Hayden and Becca referred to in their interview the slight progression, in that I was like this about a year ago. And then it still comes back, and I still get like that, especially if I've got something big coming up and I'm really, really nervous about it. Point in case, engine shed, still cage match.
Yes.
Absolutely pooing myself. I genuinely, behind the pulling the curtain right back now, I was in tears before going out there.
Really?
And Becca had to calm me down. Yeah. Terrified. Got out there. Loved it.
And a great match.
It was that's how it affects me. So it's before and after. It's the confidence thing. But when I'm out there, it's fine.
It's like a coping mechanism.
Yes.
Is the performing.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. But again, it's fun. It's something I really enjoy. So it's a fun coping mechanism.
So let's now talk about your time in the academy then. So who were the sort of people that really sort of took you under your wing when you first started?
Oh, okay, now we're going back quite far. Okay, so when I had my first match with Will Wilde and Annie May, Aidan Drake taught me a lot of stuff. Oh God, because the academy's changed so much. There's so many new people.
Yeah.
It's really confusing. obviously Hayden and Becca as coaches and mentors and friends. Now so much, I would say it's Brett Myers and Will, Big Will. Dopey. So dopey. Stash, you know him as Edward Ripper. A lot of the new guys, actually. Draco's lovely. Ed's helped me quite a bit. Like, we all help each other. Like, everyone has influenced me in some way or form, even if it's I've learned some sort of move or I've learned something from them as a person, or I've got to, and I'll put this as bluntly as possible, I've had to calm myself down because they've irritated me. But that in its own little way is I've a learning curve for me, because then you kind of see past that and you're okay.
It's the strangest thing in that, well, it's not the strangest thing, it's kind of the greatest thing, is that Fight Factory Wrestling, everyone's just this one big family.
Yes.
It's what you imagine when you think of, like, the travelling circus of the...
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I wonder who the clown would be, because I'd avoid them.
Who would you say the clown is?
Oh, dear. I'm going to go with Will. Will's the clown, although I'm a lot more scared of clowns. Terrified of them.
Not afraid of Will?
Yes. Wrestling-wise, terrifies me. Will? Nah. No.
Let's go on then to talk about... Let's talk about the name, Eliza Rue.
Okay.
Where did that come from?
Okay. When I was thinking of characters, I think the Rue genuinely came from the fact that I had bright red hair, and it just sounded like rouge, but doesn't add... I think it's something you add to pastry to... make it something. That's genuinely what it means, but it sounds like the French word for bread. So
Eliza pastry doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it?
No, it doesn't. Oh dear. So yeah, I got a lot of help with my name, actually. We have a little board where I can ask for advice. Everyone can ask for advice. And when I was first starting out, well, I didn't have a character or anything. So I first thing was right, name. Think of a name. And there was a lot of names already out there that are already on the British scene, so you kind of want to avoid them straight away.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know of an Eliza. So I thought, right, I'll give that a go. And I think Joey Osborne might have had a hand in the name. I don't know. And I think that if I can't remember, because there was a whole post and there was loads of names on there.
What other names were you sort of projecting yourself? What other names did you have in mind for yourself before?
There was something Rose. And then it was Eliza something else. I can't remember what that was. There was like six names thrown out there. And then this one, I was just like, right, okay, we'll go with that. See how it goes. It's kind of stuck, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a catchy name. It's like you say, there's no other Elizas out there that I know of. I know,
yeah,
we'll probably
and if there
get,
is, I apologise.
We'll probably get a tweet or a message in saying that there is. But
I'm really sorry for that.
So you started in the academy. Mm-hmm. When you start moving on to like doing the main shows and things like that, you were working as a sort of manager for Dale Preston at one point, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I made my debut as Joey Osborne / Dale Preston's manager.
How did you find that?
Oh gosh, the story behind that's quite funny. So I'd had my first outing. I had a little bit of a... It was kind of a little, just like a talky back and forth with Violet, Annie, and then Indy was there as well. I got back. Hayden was stood behind the curtain. Right, your Valley main event. I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm definitely not. He's like, yeah, you are. And the original plan was that I was Joey's valet. And then for some reason, I walked up with Dale. So I walked up with Dale. He massively helped me, always has, and always has a lot of faith in people. So I worked as his manager for a while, alongside working with Joey and being his manager for a little bit. But Dale's full of knowledge, and I couldn't tell you exactly how long he's been wrestling. I know I think we had a
30 something years.
We've had a conversation about it, and it's longer than I've been alive. Sorry, Dale, but
nearly us two added together.
Oh wow!
Well, actually, no. Maybe I'm a bit too high there.
Oh God, how old are you making him at this point? Because I can always get me a. No, he's full of knowledge and he helped me massively and obviously gave me loads of feedback on how to get better with being his manager. And he always wants people to be involved. That's the best part about Dale. You see him as this big, angry, scary man, but I think he's great.
How important do you think it is then that these veterans of the industry, I know that on the previous podcast, which hasn't actually been released at the time of this recording with Joey Osborne, that I did, I referred to him as a veteran of the industry. He didn't like that one bit.
Oh.
But,
oh, did he not?
No, he did. He said that made him feel old.
Well, I won't comment on.
But how do you feel that working with the sort of veterans like Dale has really sort of helped yourself and other members of the academy?
I'm always slightly in awe still, and I don't show it as often. But working with people who do know what they're talking about, who have been all over the world, who have been even just all over Britain and are so well respected, and then they just come in and they're normal and they're absolutely like, right, well, I'll help you with this, this, and this. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. And that's where I get nervous, because you don't expect it. And they are just people. And this is where I'm still kind of adjusting, because I look at them and I'm like, yeah, but you've been in the ring with this person, and oh my goodness. So yeah, working with them is an honor, really. I love working with anybody. But especially the veterans, to know they're still so humble, that's key.
And you got the chance, was it last year, to go and spend some time with one of the most respected wrestling families in the world?
Yes, I did.
At WAW.
Yes, I know where this is going.
How was that experience?
It was incredible. Obviously, I've predominantly trained at Fight Factory. That's my home, and that's where I will... That's always going to be my home. But we went to WAW with Dutch and a couple of other students, and we did an intense week of training. We had the most incredible coaches. They came from everywhere, like literally everywhere, like America, and I think Ricardo Rodriguez was there, and obviously Soraya Knight, who's terrifying but so lovely at the same time.
What terrified you? The two boys,
obviously. Everyone who coached us, incredible. Chick Cullen, incredible coach. He was our, I'm going to say, like, team leader for the week. And then you had Jason Cross. Everyone, incredible. I can advise, if I can give any advice and you get the opportunity, go and do it. Because that's what turned me slightly as a character. Just the confidence of having to go there and do what we do here in our home and do it somewhere else. That took a lot, but it helped.
I think that's important as well, because you know, as great as Fight Factory Wrestling is as well, it's always great to have opinions of people from all over the industry, and different places have different ways of going about things. And if you can get opinions from different people, then that just ups your game completely.
Yes, it does. Everyone teaches in different ways. They are predominantly very British. They teach a very British style, and that's great. I loved it. It's very hard hitting. All the holds and everything was so meticulous. And obviously at Fight Factory we still learn that, but there's just a little bit of something else thrown in there. So it's just different. For me, I'd love to go and train everywhere and take little bits and then just kind of put it all in one big ball of wrestling.
One big ball of wrestling. I love that. I do love that.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. So we're recording this on the 30th of May 2017. You're probably getting this a few days or a week after we've recorded it. But yesterday, Eliza, you put on Facebook something saying, "Days like today remind me why I love wrestling. That spark is relit so proud." What's that referring to?
Oh, okay. So wrestling is, I'll be honest, is exhausting. You are putting your body through hell. And there are days where you just wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, ouch. But obviously now we've got the new gym, we've constantly got the ring up. And I don't know if this is going to be published, like how this, I think I can say this. So Hayden's daughter, yes. Kaya, she trains when she's here. We spent roughly about 5 hours yesterday, maybe. We spent a couple of hours the day before just going through some move sets. And then yesterday we ended up putting together like about, it must, like all this information and all these moves and ideas and these crazy ideas that I'd come up with. And obviously Hayden had had an input and Kaya had come up with some cool little stuff too. We put it, I'd written them all down so she can go and look at them again and we'd gone through it. But there's at least like 6 matches all on this one sheet of paper where she can pick and choose stuff. And it's just working with Kaya and just anybody at this point, even if it's just in training, like using what we've got now. We've got a ring up. We can go over literally anything you want. Like the ring time is there. So we spent about 5 hours thinking of loads of cool stuff and just to see the smile on her face. Once we'd got it and once it was nailed and once it was like, right, this is cool. And even some of the stuff she was coming up with, like, I wouldn't have thought of. But then she thought of this. There's some cool little pins in there. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And you can see it. And like, you, obviously, they can't see me right now. But, like, I get really excited about it all. And my hands start going everywhere. And then, like, I'm like, oh, my God, we can do this and this and this. And then, honestly, I love it. This is where the late nights and everything are just so worth it, because working with people and coming up with ideas, and that was almost like a turning page for me as well, because as the kind of more experienced person in that situation with me and Kaya, I'm coming up with loads of cool stuff for her, which is kind of developing my wrestling brain.
It's showing you so as a leader as well.
So it helps the both of us, and I love working with her. She's so dedicated.
How old is she?
Kaya is 12 or 13. 13. Yes, 13 or 14.
12, 13 or 14. Maybe 15 or 16. But we'll
no, I'm going to say she's 13. Yeah.
It's an incredible age, though, to be, as you say, that talented.
Yes, she is. There's a couple of little bumps, but everyone has little bumps. Everyone has those hang-ups.
At 13, of course.
Of course. But she's... Like I said, she's so dedicated, and when she's here, I mean, she asked me the other day, she said, I'm here for summer, a little bit in summer. Do you think we could, like, I'm here for 3 weeks, can we come here as often? I'm like, yeah, I will happily work in with you as much as you want me to, because if I can enjoy it as much as I enjoyed it yesterday, and then she can progress, because even in that short space of time, she progressed, like, millions. It was great, and it's nice to see her go from being quite shy... And then, like, by the end of the sequence, she's like, yeah, we nailed it. And it's really rewarding. And I can see why Hayden gets like he does with his students, because it's really cute. And I'm like, this is great.
Would it be something that maybe down the road you'd want to go into then?
I think it would be fun. And I think that the rewarding side of it, yes. Maybe like 25 years later, once I've got a lot more knowledge, because I've got to remember, I've only been doing this about 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't have massive amounts of knowledge. I'm nowhere near veteran status. I'm starting out. That would be something I'd love to do, but just maybe not yet.
Let's take a moment now to talk about sort of your relationship with Becca and Dutch, Hayden, for people who don't know. There is that sort of... You're close to them.
Yes.
You've moved in with them. What was it that sort of led to you moving in with them?
So I used to get to training with a friend of mine, and then he stopped wrestling. At this point in time, I wasn't really sure on what career path I was going down. I'd applied for college in Grantham, and then I decided that I realised if I'm in college in Grantham, I'm going to really struggle to get to training. So... whilst I'm doing all this stuff and I'm staying over every training session pretty much just so I can go train and then go back home. And Becca was like, well, why don't you just live here? And I just kind of remember the conversation. I'm like, huh? So the plan was I either stay with Hayden's dad because he had a spare room, or I stay with her. and Hayden and the kids. And I was like, right, are you sure? Like, this is a big thing. Like, huge. This is massive what they're doing for me. And she's like, yeah, I'm absolutely sure you're great with the kids. Like, why not? And just help out a little bit and you'll be fine. I was like, okay. And I mean, she is like a second mum, and she's got this really hard exterior. So she's like really tough. But once you've kind of knocked back that a little bit, she's lovely and she does have a heart of gold. And you've just got to, you almost, I don't know how she'll feel about me talking about this, but I feel like you do have to massively earn her trust.
Yeah.
But she does have a heart of gold, as you can see from what she's done for me and everybody else within the academy. Hayden is like a, I don't know, Hayden's got like a really angry face, but again, he's a softie. I would class them, I feel like moving from Grantham was a really big thing for me, but I've just swapped one set of parents for another, and I don't know who's going to be more offended by that. Probably Hayden, because he's adamant that he's not that old.
Are your parents really supportive of your career?
Yes, massively. When I first started training, my mum was like, are you going to be all right, Chantel? Like, are you going to be okay? Yeah, fine. Come back with bruises and stuff. Because, like, contrary to what people believe, it hurts. My mum and my sister come to pretty much every show they can. When I told my mum that I was going to move out, she was like, but Chantel, like, you can't leave me. And I'm like, but please, like, this is big. She's really proud of me, and she loves coming to the shows. She loves watching all the wrestlers. She gets really into it. She's like, the Entry Shed show when we had Magnus on, honestly, I think my mum had like the best day of her life, because she used to watch it with my dad and my sister and me, and they all still watch it at home. And they're almost like fans, but too much of fans, because my sister will message me and be like, oh, what happened to Dutch? Is he okay? And I'm like, yes, Kirsty, he's fine.
Don't kill the magic.
So I'm like, I don't know what to say to her. She knows how it works. And yeah. She knows that injuries do happen, but sometimes it's so easy to wind her up. I'm sorry, Kirsty, I love you.
So I mentioned that because of something that Dutch and Becca both brought up in their interview, and that was I asked them about whether you got any stick for basically living with them and being close to them from anyone.
Yeah, I had a really tough time when I first started.
Because how long had you been training before you moved in with them?
Oh gosh, right. So I. Let me think. I started training in probably the May or June of 2015. I had moved in with them by the summer next year. So we'll go for about a year.
About a year, yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of stick for it. And to be fair, I still get a little bit, nowhere near as much.
But is it more now the jovial kind of joking way, or
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I mean, even if they mean it seriously, I make a joke out of it. And a lot of us do. Because I think that it was definitely harder for me to deal with at first, because I knew how much effort I was putting in. I'd go to the gym with Hayden and Becca 5 times a week.
Have you ever felt like you've got special treatment at all?
No. Absolutely not. And I can tell you that for a fact, because I think Becca mentioned this in their interview too. She is dead tough on me. I genuinely feel like, because I'm quite close with them and because I genuinely respect them so much, that if I do anything wrong, I'm massively disappointed in them. They said that, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want them to be really disappointed in me. So I try my hardest. And then when she gives me the little speeches, I'm just like, because this does happen. I'm not handed stuff. I have to work for stuff. But when I do something wrong, or if I think I've done something wrong, I'm like, oh God, I hope Becca, I don't want her to be mad at me. Like, I don't want her to be disappointed in me. So yeah, I do. She is tough on me, but she's tough on everyone. I do think that people do have a misconstrued kind of perception of it because I live with them. But I have to work just as hard. In fact, I might even have to work harder. Purely for the fact that say if we're going flyering, right? Yeah, we're going on a flyering session. We used to fly door to door. But everyone else has the opportunity to say, oh no, I've got this, 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 this. I'm there. I'm going, right? And I would do it anyway.
Yes.
Because I want to help. But I'm there, so I'm doing it, right? So people can say what they want and they can think what they want. But I do work hard, and the whole kind of getting special treatment, that's the biggest lie. I was going to say annoying word. I'm not going to. that's a lie. No, they're fair with everyone. And they've always said to every student, the door is always open. So any issues, door's there. Like, come around and speak to them. So, no, I don't think that I get special treatment. I think that I just have to work a little bit harder because I feel like I've got two sets of parents.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Let's go on to talk about your favourite wrestling match of all time, one that you've seen.
Oh, gosh.
That can be that you were live in attendance or on the TV, whatever.
Okay.
Favourite match of all time.
Favourite match of all time.
I know, it's a big question.
That is a really big question. There's a lot of matches.
I know.
Why do you do this?
Because I like putting people on the spot.
Oh, God, I'm terrible on the spot. Okay. I might have to go back to the Sasha and Bailey thing.
Yes.
Purely for the fact that growing up watching women's wrestling, obviously I watched a lot of TNA, so I knew I loved Gail Kim. Gail Kim was a massive inspiration for me. But obviously when I started watching NXT and WWE, like, again, that the fact that that was huge that they got to do that, and the way that it was structured and they drew you in with everything
and it was the main event.
Yes, that in itself is huge. The fact that we've gone from having women's matches which last like 4 minutes and it's not even a wrestling match, it's essentially, and this is nothing against anything that's been done before,
this is just my
personal opinion, but we've gone from having muddy water in a pool and people winning titles to women main eventing shows, and that huge difference. So that's why it's big for me. And the wrestling, they did a great job in making people invest in it.
We've seen that change over the last 2 to 3 years, especially from where women's wrestling is becoming more prominent and taken more seriously. Do you think that you'd have been in any way, would you have wanted to get into the industry as much if that change hadn't have happened?
I think I would have. I think I probably just would have worked a little bit harder to eventually try and make the change happen. Because the women can do everything the men can do. And this is like, the men can do everything the women can do, so I'm not being sexist at all right now. Everyone in this is equal. Our coach, obviously Hayden, his goal is always to, I remember having a speech with him when I first started, and his goal is to have the same amount of women's matches as there is men's. So this is why I love this company, because, and I'm not saying that any other company doesn't, but like this specifically, I remember that conversation will always stick in my head, because that puts the faith in us too. That's almost him saying he believes we can do it too, and that our matches aren't just almost like a gimmick match.
It's sort of a case of, it doesn't matter whether the match that's going on last is a women's match, mm-hmm. a men's match. It's whatever deserves to be the top of the card.
Yes.
Whatever they feel deserves to be. Have you had a chance to main event yet?
I have. I did take part in a main event. I was on with Dutch and Stash. That was fun. I got bumped everywhere. obviously, being the smaller one out of the three, I was just like taking everything. but they didn't. I mean, that was big for me. I hope that one day we'll be able to do something similar that they've done with the I'm a match. That one day we can main event an FFW show. Hint, hint. spoon fed. No, I'm joking.
Who is your sort of ideal opponent that you've had in the sort of Fight Factory wrestling sort of?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. And anyone who's
listening to this, if you don't get mentioned here, don't take it seriously. I'm putting her on the spot.
Oh gosh.
Or anyone that's maybe come and visited or anything like that?
I have had really fun matches with quite a few people. Are we specifically talking FFW right now?
It can be, yeah, whatever.
Okay, so if I'm specifically talking FFW, this doesn't include any of the outside shows, because I'll probably go onto that topic in a minute. I personally really enjoy working with Laurie. She hits like a train, yes. But again, she's been doing this a very long time, and her aggression in there and her intensity, that almost brings out more from me and brings out more, how do I word this? So it brings out more of my character. I remember the first match that my character fully developed and I got loads of good feedback on was the first match with Laurie at the Engine Shed. So that was a big thing for me. I love working with her. I love working with Lana and Nightshade. I had a really fun match with Nightshade the other day at NK, which is our new home. And we feed off each other really well.
Yes.
I can feel that when we're working together. She's a brilliant villain. I can bounce off her. She comes up with loads of cool ideas. I love working with her. I love working with Lana because Lana's so much fun. Like, she literally... Obviously, there are aspects to working with Lana which are a given, i.e. the referee bum spot at the beginning.
Yes.
Which I'm not actually going to go into too much because I think that Jeff has had enough mention on this radio.
We've all had different opinions from it, you know.
Jeff has had enough mention on this radio. I'm sorry, Jeff.
For people who don't know, that's the viral video that's been going around,
yes.
With Jeff the Ref and Lana Austin and the cleverly placed Fight Factory Wrestling logo in the background.
That's always a plus.
Yes.
Definitely look at the logo. So she's fun to work with. We did a cool little spot at Cleethorpes that involved, like, that was an interesting thing. Who else has been really fun to work with? I loved working with Jamie Sparks. She's retired now, but she was very fun to work with. My first feud, actually, would be with Sophie. You all know her as Tegan.
Yes.
We kind of grew together, actually. She definitely helped me to develop my character, and she was really fun to work with in training, too. So we kind of bounced off each other, and she, whenever she's back in Lincoln, I love working with her and I love having her at training because it almost spurs me on. We never had like a proper rivalry backstage. We were always just really fun and like friendly, but having her there almost brings out the competition side in both of us, which is fun.
Who are some of the people then from outside shows that...
Well, there's the big one there, isn't there? There is Soraya. That
I can see for people at home who are, you know, listening in on this, I can see your face. Whatever you get, you're in the ring with Soraya Knight.
I am so proud of that. Like, that was something that was huge for me, and that's always going to be huge for me because she is such a veteran of wrestling. She is so well known. She does have so much knowledge. I cannot say anything bad about her. She's lovely as well. I another backstage little behind the curtain thing. I would say that they're very similar, Becca and Soraya, in that when Soraya is in the ring, she is possibly one of the most terrifying women I have ever met. But when she was teaching us, and at this point, my anxiety was still really bad. I got caught off guard by something and I don't even remember what it was. And I had to take a break. I had to go outside and I was in pieces. And I was excited. To be fair, I had the door go and I didn't, because no one really knew what my issues were at this point in WAW, I kind of thought it'd be one of the trainees that's come out just to check. And it wasn't, it was Soraya. She'd come out, she'd give me a hug. She'd discussed things with me and said, look, like, you're doing all right, just take a breath, like, stop crying, take a breather, and we'll go inside and we'll boss it. And that that different side to her. It's incredible to see how she can switch on that character and then be so soft at the same time, and it baffles me. I got to work with Rosemary too. She was...
Because you won a Battle Royal to qualify for that, didn't you? Yeah.
I won a Battle Royal, and I got the opportunity to contend for the... that sounds really crazy. to contend for the Knockouts Championship, which is weird. obviously, watching TNA a lot when I was growing up, that was huge for me. I remember when the promoter spoke to me, I was like, right, okay.
That's a world championship.
Yes, it is. When the promoter messaged me, I was like, right, got a match graphic for you. Looked at it, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Went and showed Hayden. Hayden was like, oh, that's really cool. Showed Becca. And I think Becca had no idea who she was, maybe. Becca is, I don't know, maybe. One of them didn't, I think. But it was crazy because obviously Becca has openly said that before she got into wrestling, she didn't.
Know anything about it, which is incredible because she books the shows now.
Yes. So when I obviously showed her this, like, she wasn't, because TNA isn't something that she's regularly watched, it wasn't something she was familiar with.
Whereas
I'm there, like,
completely freaking out.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't really tell people, but oh my God. And then when it was announced, my mum and my sister were like, oh my God. And she actually, like, she let me, and this is where the fan side comes out a little bit. She let me hold title, and I was like, this is real, like, this is mental. This is 2 years in. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't have any words at this point.
When I saw the match graphic for the Battle Royal, and I saw, like, you know, the winner gets to fit, I was like, oh, well, it's cool that she's in a contender match for it. And I thought, you're 2 years in, that wasn't your, like, home promotion. I thought, surely it can't be. And then suddenly it all happened, and I went, oh, wow, that's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal. She was lovely. She was great to work with. Again, character absolutely incredible. I can't fault that at all. She comes out, she starts, like, licking the title, and I think she licked her hands and then wiped, like, went to grab me, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Did she give you any advice afterwards?
She did a little bit. She said everything went really well, and that I think she just told me to be a bit more confident with everything. I get that a lot. Just be more confident with everything. Obviously, there's other feedback in there too, but that's the most predominant one that I get, especially from Hayden. And she obviously said it as well. And there was a couple of other people that have said, just be confident with it.
If you're confident, this is something that I was told actually on my drama course only a few weeks ago about something, because we've just been doing a play, and they just turned around and they went, if you're confident with it, people won't realise if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, actually, that's a fair point.
Like, they haven't read the script. They don't know what's happening next.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very fair point, actually. I know that, and it's something that you kind of... It comes with time, and there are always going to be certain matches which, if I get told about, that, like, could be a potential, I'll be like, oh, my goodness, I'm so nervous for this. Because people are influential, and if, like, the end goal of this for me, although I'm studying and going to uni and stuff, this is the end goal. I want this as a career. So, like, anything could be that thing that just gives me a little bit of an edge. So, well, yeah, everything does make me nervous.
We've heard from, like, your trainers and stuff like that about how you've improved through, you know, the last sort of 12 months, whatever it is, you know, even longer than that. You know, I've spoken to members of the, you know, Fight Factory Wrestling Academy that have all mentioned, you know, when I say to them who's, like, the most improved people, your name comes up. And we do spot that as well with things like, you know, drawing the curtain back from this side, when you came on here to do the in-character one with... Dave Isaac, and
that was funny.
I remember that one.
I love Dave. He's great.
That's become a bit of an infamous interview around here, because Maisie, who's my co-host for that show, she was here. She knows nothing about wrestling. Not really sure how it all
poor
worked.
Girl.
And that was the interview where Dave Isaac said to me, threatened to punch my teeth down my throat.
Yes, he did.
And I just remember Maisie's face going,
"Oh, bless her." I love Dave. Dave's brilliant. I loved working with him, to be fair.
now I'm glad we're kind of similar alignments because I get to potentially work with him again.
But we see as well that you've sort of so much improved from that point as well, because when you came in for that interview, you were nervous. You were not...
I didn't want to speak. You're not ready to speak. I remember sitting there and just like... You could take over. You could say all this now. Because I don't want to do this. I'm not doing it.
That's the most editing I've ever had to do with.
Is it?
With the turning oh, up of damn. All the volume. So, but that we can tell today. You know, you've turned up. You've arrived. You're loud on the levels. And
oh my god! That's something I'm proud of. That's a deal breaker there.
And that's one thing that I said to, you know, Dutch and Becca when I first started doing this sort of stuff and inviting you guys along to Siren FM is I said, send. I'll speak to people like Dale Preston and people like that who are and Dutch, but I said send the academy guys down, because even if they don't get, you know, long interviews out of them, it gives them media experience, which is a huge part of what you do as well.
Yes, the media side to everything is massive. Obviously, even just after a show, and you've got people coming up to you and asking for like pictures, and you've got to be social with them because they've come and they've. The one thing I never want to do is disappoint the fans, and they've come and they've paid for, they've essentially paid to see you.
Yes.
Whether it's you directly or indirectly, they've come to see you. So if they come up to you after, I think that if I'm the right kind of alignment for this, I can talk to them, and that I've recently had to do like in-ring pictures. Now I've turned, so that's another side to it. And then there's this, and then obviously like newspaper stuff, which I know Hayden and Becca do quite a lot for body slams. So being almost like an advocate for FFW and whatnot, because everyone has to be an advocate for FFW.
Yes.
Like you're training with them, and if you're on their shows, you have to represent them properly. So I'm glad that I'm a little bit more confident that I can come and do this, because you can kind of talk about everything that goes on and almost... put it in people's faces and be like, look, we're here. Yeah.
And it's like you say as well, like, you know, you've got to have that confidence behind it, because if if the aim is to get to WWE one day, TNA one day, something like that, that's the sort of stuff that you've got to be doing on a day-to-day basis as well.
Yes. This is, like, the wrestling isn't just the wrestling. We're in there for 10, 25 minutes wrestling. There's training that goes behind it. There's the setup to the shows. There's the pack down from the shows. There's the advertising for the shows. There's everything. And then there's all the other side to it, which is all this stuff, the media side of it, the socializing, the everything that we do builds to that one moment in there. But there's so much more than what actually goes on in that ring. There's so much preparation. So yes, there's a lot more to wrestling than just wrestling.
So you've worked most of your career as a heel.
Yeah.
But now you've turned babyface. Which one have you preferred?
See, that's difficult, because when I first got told that they were going to turn me, I was a little bit like, okay, I'm excited for this, but I'm really nervous, because I spent my whole kind of career as a villain. I do babyface at a couple of other promotions, but not to the extent I have, like, where I've got a full-on, like, babyface storyline at the moment. So it was new and it was scary. I felt like I was back at day one, because everything I do in there is villainous, from the chokes, from the moveset, from the way I'm looking at people. So it took me a lot of advice from people, like, how do I do this? Because it's easy to make someone hate you. I have a resting bitch face. Sorry, I swore.
That is fine, don't worry.
So that, literally, I used to just walk out and stare.
Yeah.
And now I have to make people like me. They have to have a reason to want me to win. Like, this is difficult.
How did you think, were you worried about, because obviously the Fight Factory wrestling audience is mainly made up of, you know, children.
Yeah.
How did you think they were going to respond to you? Because kids are a hard nut to crack sometimes when it comes to, if you've worked as a villain the whole time and now you're just turning into what's, you know, their hero, in a sense, was it nerve-wracking going out there and thinking, oh, what if they still boo me?
Yes, that was a huge thing for me. My first match as a proper kind of almost half in between was against Lana. Nah, that was never gonna. I was never gonna get the same reaction. I got some, which was fine, and I was kind of the way we played that out at this point in time was because I'd just turned, and it wasn't. I didn't fully turn until NK. So I was kind of reverting back to my old ways and doing a little bit of the dirty stuff and then be like, oh no, I shouldn't have done that. And trying to just kind of make it a smooth transition rather than bang, bang. So people can kind of take that in and they can adjust to it. It helped having the storyline with the agency.
Yes.
Because obviously Dale as a character is horrible. Absolutely awful. And then you've got Will Cruz, and you've got Paul Maiden, and you've got Dylan Soab, and everyone in there is... Oh, Maiden. Maiden as a villain is great. Like, you've got all of that. So for me to turn against that, that helped me. That made my job a little bit easier to get people on side.
Yeah.
I think a good storyline, you can chop and change, and then bang. Like, it makes changing alignments so much easier. Because you've got people that are already hated. And if you're hated with them and you turn on them, well, that immediately makes you nice, right?
And it's really interesting when you're watching the events, like I was up at NK last week or whatever.
How did you find that?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the, you know, just sort of giving my honest opinion on it, I thought it was one of the best booked Fight Factory events in that I've been to.
Wow.
Like in how it was ran out and how the I'm thinking from it as a sort of someone who sat and watched a lot of wrestling. I'm not in the industry. I don't really know what it's okay. Like, but sitting there watching it and enjoying it, I was there like, oh, the fact that they had those matches there actually broke it up really nicely. But that's just my opinion. One thing I did notice is how, like, over with the kids yourself are, Tommy Ryder is, and Ripper.
Yes.
As well, just
that
the
crowd,
whole place just
say,
erupted.
If any of them are listening, thank you, because that crowd was loud. I didn't know what to expect, especially as my first outing as babyface. Tommy always gets a good reception with the kids, and so does Ripper. They've established that, and everyone knows them, and they get a huge reaction from the young fans. But for me personally, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how people were going to react. And the kids, they were so loud. They were so good. That crowd was incredible. And that makes what we do so rewarding and so much fun because they're invested in it. And that's all I ever want from it. And that's all we ever want from it. Just to, for them to come, to pay for a ticket, sit down and just enjoy themselves. Because what we do is essentially for the fans.
Yeah.
That they are very important. So if they have huge smiles on their faces and get a little bit upset if the bad guy wins, great.
Mm.
They were loud. They were incredible. I'm so happy with that.
It's one thing I've always said about adults going to Fight Factory wrestling events as well, especially the ones that are based for the child-friendly ones. For the child, you know, the family-friendly ones,
yes.
If an adult's going to there, I say to people, you know, when I'm going, I say, if you go into those events, don't go expecting blood and gore and everything like that. Go expecting to sit down, pretend that it regress to your childhood again and just enjoy the show for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Don't overanalyze things. Don't sit there and try and think about stuff like that. Because I find us, you know, doing wrestling podcasts and stuff, and it's burnt me out with a lot of wrestling, to be honest, the fact that I just seem to overanalyze everything for so long.
I do that too.
And part of me just sat down and went, you know what, when you go to these events, just sit down and just enjoy yourself and pretend like you're a five-year-old again and watch how the kids react to it as well.
The greatest part for me is watching the kids' faces. And I sat down, there was a little viewing box in Sleaford. So I sat there and I was watching the main event and it was Dale and Dutch. And there's this one kid in the crowd, and you can just, like, obviously people can't see what I'm doing right now, but, like, his reactions to everything, like, he was covering his face up, and he was like, like, oh, my God, I bet that really hurt. And, like, honestly, just seeing that, like, one kid's reaction, that's enough. Like,
how does that make you feel?
That's great. Like, it's, you've done your job. And it's great for me to see from an outsider's point of view when I'm not in the match. Obviously, the one you want to target is the parents. If you can get that slight ooh from them,
yeah,
you've definitely done your job.
I think that's a really cool way to analyse it as well. So let's talk about, before we wrap things up, I've got a couple more questions. Who is your dream opponent?
Okay.
Anyone in the world?
Anyone in the world? Gail Kim. That's my dream.
Yes.
I want that. I've watched her growing up. She was my inspiration to get into this industry. So that if that ever happened, I'd probably cry.
I think that would be a really cool match, actually. Would you say that you've taken a lot of inspiration from her, like moveset wise and everything?
Yeah, I mean, when I was villain, I obviously had my arm submission, and I used to use a modified eat defeat, but I'd do it to the shoulder instead. And like, there's a couple of little bits which I'd watch a couple of her matches, and then you'd like take little bits and then just kind of mold them to what I would do instead. But yeah, I would say that I use a lot of inspiration.
And what do you feel you still have room to improve on?
Okay. For me personally, I want to improve my fitness. I want to become more athletic. I want to come off the top rope a bit more. And that scares the life out of me. I'm terrified of heights, but I'd love to do maybe a couple of little bits off the top rope. Nothing too crazy. Just that one thing where I can be like, yeah, I can do that. And then the kids in the crowd can be like, oh, and maybe even the parents can be like, oh, if that goes wrong, that's going to really hurt. So, yeah, there's that. I want to improve my fitness, my cardio, and maybe my interaction with the crowd. I'm always going to critique myself. Every match I'm watching, I'm like, this needs fixing, this needs fixing.
Do you go everything back and watch every match?
Yes. Every match.
How do you feel that? Do you think that's sort of like, do you feel that's a good thing for yourself, or do you sometimes wish that you didn't feel like you had to go and watch every match?
I think everybody should watch their matches back. I think that, I mean, I'm not going to criticise anybody. This is just based on me.
Yeah, that's your other opinion.
I learn best once I've picked up on what I've done wrong. And obviously there are a lot of performers which are at the point where they're not doing anything wrong, so they don't need to watch it back. They can just watch it back for their enjoyment.
Yes.
But for me at a trainee level or semi-professional level, I would prefer to watch it back so I know what I need to work on. Because if I can pick up on it, then I can fix it.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Ooh. Okay.
Or where would you like to be in 5 years' time?
5 years' time, I'd like to at least...
Because you'll be, what, 26?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm 22 this year, so 26, 27. I would like to be quite big around Britain and maybe work a couple of promotions then just all over Europe. Obviously, the end goal is WWE.
Women's champion, main event of WrestleMania, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing is great, but I'm not kidding myself it's going to happen in 5 years. It's a goal. Of course it's a goal. But I love the British scene and I love the independent scene, so I would be happy just regularly working everywhere.
Well, it's like we are hearing sort of the rumours of this women's tournament that's going to be taking place. In fact, it's not rumours anymore. I think
this
it's
is a
officially,
thing. It's called the Mae Young...
I didn't realise it had a name now.
Yeah, they've named it after Mae Young.
And, like, if you got the opportunity to be a part of that tournament one day, maybe not the first inaugural year, but if they were to do it again, would it be something that you would, like, jump at the chance to?
Yeah, it would be. I would like to do it. I'd like to be prepared for it. I'd like to know that I was capable of performing at the same caliber as everybody else on there, regardless of experience. So maybe not the first one.
Yes.
Maybe, because I'm all for taking opportunities, and if an opportunity is given to you, I can sit there and say, yeah, you should take that. But I wouldn't take anything I wasn't fully prepared for.
Well, like you say, you're 21 now. If you were to spend, you know, the next couple of years travelling the independent scene of Britain, because it's such a strong scene at the moment. It really is.
It's incredible. there's pretty much a show in every city with completely different tastes, different crowds, different performers, everything so different. You can learn so much. So, yeah, I want to spend the next couple of years doing what I'm doing, slowly getting my name out there, and then if I eventually make it to WWE, I want to be able to say that I can do everything they require from me.
And talking of events that are coming up, Fight Factory Wrestling have some events that are coming up in the near future.
Yes, we do. Friday 23rd of June, we are at Gainsborough at X Church for Mass Effect. And we do have, I don't know if he's current at this point, but TNA Impact Star Bram.
Yes.
That's going to be huge. I don't know who he's on with. I just know he's going to be there.
And that's all that
quite
matters.
Scary. Obviously, alongside that, we've got Laurie and Robin coming back, who always entertain, always put on a great show with all your regulars, i.e. me, Dutch, Will, Brett, maybe a couple of the other guys. And then on the 25th of June, we are back at 1NK. So we've got Aftermath, which is on the 25th of June. I haven't told you the prices for Bram, right? So general admission for Gainsborough is £10, children £5, front row is £15, and I do believe there could be a meet and greet at some point or in ring pictures, I'm not sure. Obviously he's there, so time for that is 7:30. That's the start, so you want to get there for about 7, and then Aftermath is obviously 25th at 1NK in North Highcombe. Doors are 3 Start at 1:30, start at 2. Adults £10, concession 5. It does say that the price shown is online pre-sale only. So get your tickets online and they are cheaper. I did a cool little hand signal.
Yes, if people want to find out more details, fightfactorywrestling.co.uk. No, it's just .uk, isn't it?
UK.
Yeah, there we
go. You're messing up almost as much as I am.
And if people want to find out more about yourself, where can they follow you?
Okay, so I have Instagram, which is official Eliza Rue. I have a Facebook page, which is Eliza Rue. And then I do have an account on Facebook, which is Eliza Rue. I do have Twitter. I think that's just Eliza Rue _ something. I will post that.
Eliza Rue _ something. That's a catchy one.
Yes, I'm really bad with Twitter. I am just getting used to Twitter. I'm not going to lie. I'm fine with Instagram because that just involves taking pictures. I'm fine with Facebook because I've had Facebook for a very long time. Put me on Twitter and I'm absolutely useless. I've got no idea what I'm doing.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Eliza, and good luck to yourself and everyone else at Fight Factory Wrestling.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
Thanks for tuning in to the European Uppercut podcast today for my sit-down interview with Eliza Rue. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at the EU Pod, the European Uppercut podcast on Facebook, and also search for Siren FM as well, who have been a great associate of the podcast. My name's Kai Valentine. You can find me at Kai J Valentine. Also, make sure to check out Dutch Courage Gym if you are in the Lincolnshire area or beyond. You know what? You might want to travel that far for it because I've heard it's that good. The only wrestling school in Lincolnshire. Make sure that you check it out. They have their own premises now. You can find out more details by looking back at the episode that I did with Dutch and Miss Rebecca only a few weeks ago right here on the Trending Topics Network. Make sure that you subscribe and come back here once again next week.